This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message, titled Establishing Your Relationships, What Matters Most, Pastor Aaron brings us back to what should be our highest priorities, our love for God and, by extension, with our neighbors who are created in His image. This message was recorded on Sunday, May 17, 2015. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
I'm going to start off this morning asking you a question. And that question is, what matters most? What matters most? And I want you to be asking yourself that question right now. And I want you to be real honest, okay? Be honest. Not so that I would know, not so that Pastor Scott would know, not so that any of the leaders of this church would know, but so that you would know what's going on in your own heart. Jesus put it like this. He said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Meaning that your heart is going to, whatever your heart is going to be into and invested in, those are the things that matter most to you. So again, what matters most to you? Over the next 2 weeks, I have the honor of discussing what I would dare say is the most important aspect of life, the one that most affects the lives that we live. And not just our lives, but right on up into eternity. And if you don't know what I'm referring to, I'm actually referring to relationships. Now, why would I be bold enough to say that this is the most important thing? Because I believe that God said so. You see, a man once tried to pick Jesus' heart and his mind, actually testing him to find out what mattered most to him. And this is what he asked. It's found in Matthew 22. Where he says, "Sir, which is the most important command in the laws of Moses?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to number two. And he says, "The second most important is similar. Love your neighbor as much as yourself. All the other commandments and all the demands of the prophets stem from these two laws and are fulfilled if you obey them. Keep only these, and you will find that you are obeying all the others." Man asks, "Sir, what is most important?" And Jesus doesn't respond with anything about being rich or successful or prestigious. He doesn't even say a single thing about being good. He simply says, what matters most is that you love God and you love people. You know what that's called? That's called relationship. You choose to do that and do it well, and everything else in this life will fall into place. Would you write this down in your notes? Relationship is God's highest priority. Now, I'm going to take you back a few steps in time this morning. Actually, I'm going to take you all the way back to the beginning. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And you know how He created them? He did so by speaking. Just by speaking. That's the awesome power of our God, that He simply speaks and things happen. Continuing on in verse 3, it says, "And God said, let there be light." And what does it say? "And there was light." Again, God speaks, it happens. He says, "Tree," a tree grows. He says, "Mountain," the mountains formed. He said, "Ocean, space, stars," and they all came to be. For 5 days, God creates like this, just speaking everything into existence. But on the sixth day, God decides to do something special. He decided to create something using more than just words. In fact, He decided to create something so special that it would be His most valued creation of all. And here's what He did. In Genesis 2:7, it says, "Then the Lord God took some soil from the ground, and He formed a man out of it. He breathed life-giving breath into his nostrils, and the man began to live." What did God do? He fashioned with his hands, he fashioned the most exquisite of pottery. And not only that, he did something even more special. He gave it life. Would you write this down, this statement down? That I am important to God. I am important to God. And that's right. You are important to God. So important that mere words would not be good enough to describe you. And the Creator, the master of all the universe, used his hands to make you. And more than that, he incorporated his DNA, part of himself, into making you. That's how important you are. And you know why God did this? He did it so that he could have a living relationship with you. And the most vivid way that I can describe this, and you can validate it if you're a parent, the most vivid way is watching a father or mother holding their newborn infant for the very first time. Love personified. And like I said, I can describe this one firsthand. Because you see, when my daughter CJ was born, I was in the room with them, and that time they didn't let me see. They actually had a blanket up between my wife and I. I was sitting on the other side because was C-section. So now I'm hearing everything going on, but I can't see anything. And then I hear, oh yes, it's a girl, and they bring her out, and CJ, being the good kid that she used to be, didn't even make a sound. In fact, you know how on all the stories you hear, they actually got to spank the child? This was one of them, because she wasn't even crying. So they hit her, she let out one peep, ah! And that was it. And I thought, oh, I hope my kid is okay. But then they cleaned her up, and they brought her over to me. And I remember looking at her for the first time, looking into her eyes, staring up in mine, and actually, I cannot describe that feeling. Like that word Pastor Dennis used, undescribable, was a feeling that I felt. Next thing I knew, I heard this voice from about 40 feet behind me already saying, hey, what about me? And of course, that was Carlin. Because you see, I got so lost in the way I was feeling, looking at my little child, that I had actually walked out the door. Nurses, doctors, and everything just cracking up. And then I had to go back and face the music. But imagine that. And if you've had that experience like I have, you know the feeling. And that is the way that God feels about you. But God didn't stop there. You see, when he created Adam, he desired the very best for him, so much so that he sought out more relationship opportunities for him. Look at what it says in Genesis 2. It says, and the Lord God said, it isn't good for man to be alone. I will make a companion for him, a helper suited to his needs. So the Lord God formed from the soil every kind of animal and bird and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever he called them, that was their name. Now, I'm going to pause for a moment because I don't want you to miss something, a gem in this. But I want you to imagine this, that Adam is newborn, okay? Little kid, as innocent as can be. And God brings his son to see everything that was formed, all the animals of the earth. He lines them up and he parades them before Adam. And what does Adam do? Like a little kid, got to be a part of what daddy is doing. He starts naming the animals. That's what he does. And God is allowing this. Would you write this down? Because of his relationship with us, God makes me a partner in this life. God makes me a partner in this life. Continuing on, verse 20, it says, but there was still no proper helper for the man. Then the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep and took one of his ribs and closed up the place from which he had removed it and made the rib into a woman. And he brought her to the man. Now this is where things get good. Verse 23, I love how the Living Bible quotes this because this is what it says Adam said. He said these three words. He said, this is it. This is it, Adam exclaimed. She is a part of my bone and flesh. Her name is woman because she was taken out of man. Now imagine that. Adam is standing with God and he's naming all the animals, being a partner in life. But they get to zebra. Last animal passes by and God looks at that and he says, you know what he says? Not one of these things is good enough for my kid. I want something better. I know that feeling too. Because of all that God created, nothing was good enough for his kid to have the kind of relationship that he wanted for him. So what did he do? He went right on creating. And when Adam saw what and how he had made, how did he react? He said, this is it. This is it. I know that feeling too. First time I saw my wife, this is it. You know what he was saying? He said, I get it. I get it. This is what life is all about. It's all about relationship. And that is what I sincerely hope that you would be able to say by the end of this message, that I get it. That's what my life is all about. It's not about the job. It's not about the possessions that we have. It's not even about this life. It's about relationship. My prayer is that you would come to recognize that everything that we have had happen in this life does revolve around relationship. So what I'm going to do this morning is to ask you a few more questions, not to be answered out here, but to be considered and answered in your heart, in the hopes that it'll help you to indeed establish your relationships as what matters most before you leave this earth. And it's starting with relationship number one. And the question is, how's my relationship with God? Remembering that this is what God created you for in the first place. This is the true meaning for our being. Now, I do understand, however, that somehow, some way, that message, that truth has gotten lost. And many of us have better relationships with creation rather than the creator. Tell you a little story about something that happened to me where I work over at IMI Law. It was about 3 years ago now. How many of you heard of Lahaina Noon? Yeah, not too many. Yeah? Because Lahaina Noon is a concept that somebody many, many years ago was standing on the pier at Lahaina and he looked down. It was right about somewhere around noon. And he looked down and he recognized that he had no shadow. And what he recognized was that the sun was directly above him at this certain time so that he had no shadow. That's Lahaina Noon. Well, Lahaina Noon happens in everywhere in the world twice a year. Different times, of course, because the sun is moving. But twice a year. I believe it's around the summer solstice. I always get solstice and equinox mixed up. But it's right around the summer solstice where it happens twice a year. It's actually going to happen at IMI Law tomorrow. Unfortunately, we're not open. So you're going to have to wait till July to see it again. But twice a year, it happens. And if you've been in the lobby of IMI Law, you notice that we have this beautiful tiled mural on our ground. Okay, if you stand on that mural and look up, you're going to see a skylight. That skylight and that mural are engineered that two times a year on Lahaina Noon, I believe tomorrow it's at like 12:17 or 12:18 and 30-something seconds. At Lahaina Noon, that circle of light that is shown from the skylight, you'll actually see it over the few minutes move down the wall onto the floor and will cover that mural perfectly. It's an amazing, amazing engineering feat. Well, 3 years ago, I got to see it because it was, first of all, it was sunny. That's one of the components that is important. And I, my wife invited me. I didn't think much. Lahina noon, sure, we're going to see some light or something like that. But it was really incredible. The more incredible thing about it was that the guy who actually engineered that had never seen it happen, because he was never invited until that year. And just so happened, he was in the lobby that morning, that day, that I got to see it. And incredible. We had TV crews there, everything, a big school group. And everybody was right around that mural. And we watched that circle of light come down. And right at 12:18 and so many seconds, it covered the mural completely. And everybody roared. It was like somebody did something great. And they did. But it was in that moment, well, everybody was cheering and I was clapping too, that God actually touched my heart. And he said, and I believe with all my heart, that this is what he told me. He said, "Aaron, you guys are all applauding the creation when the Creator is standing right there." And I thought about that. And one of my friends who was, I actually wasn't working there yet, but one of my friends who was, and I just elbowed him and I said, "Hey, Mr. Ono's standing right there." And he caught on. He caught it real quick. He grabbed him, took him into the center of the mural, and introduced him as the creator of that mural. And I watched that. And then God wasn't done with me yet, because he said, "Sometimes that's how I feel." That we honor the creation more than the creator. That's called a bad relationship. Somehow, some way, we forget what we were actually created for. Fortunately, God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, has not forgotten. And because we are important to him, no matter how poor or perhaps even non-existent our relationship with him might be, he's always looking to bring us back to our purpose. Described like this in Acts 17, where it says, "From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, even though he is not far from each one of us." You see, where you are, right here in little old East Hawaii, in this time, everything that you've gone through in your life, whether good or bad, has not happened by chance or circumstance. It's been brought about by a master's plan, a divine design, with the sole purpose of you having a relationship with him. Think about that for a moment. I mean, why are you even sitting here in this church this morning? Just a good way to pass time? Or I'm sure you could have found a million other things to do than to listen to a Portuguese who looks like a Filipino talk. That you were drawn here in your heart this morning. Drawn here to seek out something, or rather someone greater. Perhaps even reaching out to pursue a relationship with him. A relationship so wonderful that it lasts for eternity. I want you to know that that's why you're here this morning. Whether you know it or not, the creator of the universe handpicked you and placed you right here, hoping to have an eternal relationship with you. That's how important you are to him. And that's how much he loves you. That even though you may not know it, you were made to love him forever. And he'll do everything in his power to help you remember that. Now, the ball's in your court, and the decision is yours to make. Are you going to choose to do that? And let me just quickly explain to you why that's important. Because a loving relationship with God makes all the difference in eternity. Because if we don't choose to learn to enjoy God in this very short life, why in the world would we want to spend eternity with him? It's kind of like those products that they sell on late night TV. The ones with the money-back guarantees where if you're not fully satisfied after 30 days, you can return it. That's what this life is. It's like a trial period. And at the end of this life, question is, are we going to return it or keep that relationship for eternity? So, how's my relationship with God? A, is it my number one priority? Let me say that again. Is it my number one priority? I'll reiterate what Jesus said in Matthew 27. It says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Again, this is what matters most. I've heard of people traveling to the ends of the earth, trying to find the meaning of life. And it's right here. Men and women try every different religion that there is, only to come out more empty than they were before. You know why? Because it's not about religion. It's all about relationship with God and making that your number one priority. The way this world has come to work is that it sets before us a whole number of different choices, a number of different things to distract us from what really matters. And some of these things are good. Some of these things are good. Some of these things we need to survive in this world, but they stop being good when they begin to take over the top priority in our hearts that only belongs to God. Jesus said it like this, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are these things? These things that he's talking about? Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's even another relationship. And get again that he's not saying that these things are bad. What he is saying is that they should never take top priority over him. And the truth is that often they do. And I can vouch for that one. I do that all the time. But then we wonder why our lives get so miserable. You know why? Because we were not designed for that. Let me give you a visual on how we actually design. And bear in mind that God showed me this one when I was actually not having a good relationship with somebody else. And I was up like 3 o'clock in the morning. And he got me up out of bed. I went and sat down at my study desk. And this is what he said to me. He said, I want to show you how I designed you. So he took me to that scripture and he said, this is the way I made you, that you will love the Lord with all your heart. That means no matter what I do in relationship, I'm going to love him the most. So, as he often does, he has me draw out triangles. So I draw out the triangle like that. And then he had me draw some lines to the triangle like this. And these lines actually represent the things that he was talking about. These things. Everything else in this life. But here's an important thing that he did. Was that he made me turn the triangle upside down. And this is what he said. He said, these are all the things in your life, the relationships, the things that the job, the things that you need to live. These are all the things in your life. But this one is me. And this is how I designed you, that you would love me with all your heart, the most. That's how we were made to be. You ever find somebody who, or know of somebody who just, you cannot stand? Nobody can stand them because they have no love in your heart. That's what their triangle looks like. Still in triangle. But the sides have been brought in so much. And the reason why? Because they don't love God. But that's how God designed us. That's how we were made, to love God the most. And when we do love him the most, he adds all these things to us. Which brings about the next question, B, which is it our relationship with God growing daily? Is it growing daily? Now, if you've ever tried your hand at growing something, then you know that a plant will grow well and continue to grow if you continue to nurture it. Once you stop watering, once you stop fertilizing, once you stop pruning, the plant begins to die. Relationships are just like that, especially your relationship with God. I mentioned before that somehow, some way, this world has forgotten its purpose for being. And this is why. Because we stop nurturing our relationship with God. Trust me, if you don't take the time to work on your relationship with God, it will die. Let me say that again. If you don't take the time to nurture your relationship with God, it will die. You know, I didn't get to see the movie We Are Marshall. I heard it was really good. And one day I'll take the time to watch it. But someone told me about this one scene where the coach is imparting wisdom to one of his friends. And he says to them something to this extent. He said, when you asked your wife to marry you, you didn't call her on the phone, did you? You didn't write her a letter or wire her a telegram. You went to her, took her hand, got down on your knee, and you spoke lovingly. Just out of curiosity, how many of you guys actually asked your wife to marry you over the phone? Things are so messed up nowadays. I actually heard about one guy who texted his girlfriend. The bad thing about it is she texted back, yes. But we don't do that. And that's how our relationship with God will grow. Not by texting him, not by calling him on the phone, but by taking the time to get in his presence, to touch him and talk to him. And more than that, to listen to him. And that's why we encourage you so often to be diligent in your daily devotions, where you choose to sit with him in the word, talking and listening and even taking notes from him. That's where we nourish that relationship with him. That's where it grows. Let me finish up on this one because it's not actually done yet. See, I told you that I was struggling with somebody when I did this. And a relationship that I was having was actually my wife. And that morning I was really upset with God because she was on the bed snoring and he was keeping me up. But it's because he wanted to show me this. And he was actually not done with me yet because he was going to show me still how to fix that relationship with her. And it was really simple. Let me show you what he showed me. He said, you do it like this. This second line right here. This was Carlin, my wife. And my relationship was struggling with her. Why? Because my relationship was struggling with him. And this is what he said, if you can't see what happened here. He said, love me more. And look at what it'll do to everything in your life. You get it? Good. And if you don't, come ask me about that after, okay? Now, why did I have to share that with you? Because it brings us to the next question, number two. How is my relationship with people? Jesus said, the second most important is similar. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Earlier, I had you write down the gem about God making us partners with him in this life. And this is what it's all about. That we would become an extension of him. Just like Brother Kimo did. Become an extension and begin to love those who he loves. How? Through relationship. And especially those who have forgotten why they were created. The Apostle Paul stated it like this. He said in his letter to the Philippians, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, Consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. You know another reason that God placed you here in East Hawaii, in this town, in this time? It is to touch upon the lives of those right here in your midst. You think about it. Who are the people that you have the opportunity to impact the most? Not the guys in Africa, not the guys in China, but those right in your own house. Those who you work with every day. Those who you have a relationship with. Along with that, let me just back up here. Now, how are those relationships going? And whose best interests do you have at heart? And along with that, A, is it prioritized correctly? Is it prioritized correctly, your relationships? Or rather, do you invest in your relationships in the proper order? Because there is a hierarchy when it comes to relationships. Of course, God will not expect us to have a relationship with everybody in this world, but He will expect us to nurture well the ones that He throws into our laps. And if you're married, guess which one takes priority? Going back to Adam, in verse 23, where he said, "This is it," Adam exclaimed. "She's part of my own bone and flesh. Her name is woman because she was taken out of man." In verse 24, "This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife in such a way that the two become one person." Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you which of your relationships should be of higher priority. That's between you and God. With this exception, that if you married and or if you have children, then after God, make sure you're investing the most into them. In that order, spouse and then kids. And I'll explain to you why that concept is very, very important. Many of you know that I used to be full-time up at the big church up in Kupulau for 7 years. And that church used to have a concept called date night. How many of you heard of date night? Good. How many of you actually do date night? No, raise your hands. Well, date night, of course, is you purpose to date your spouse. Purpose now. Not when the time comes up. You actually write them down and make plans to date your spouse one night a week or one day a week. However it is. You go out on a date at least once a week. Now, there were several times where I had forsaken that. And I would make sure that Carlin did not go to Pastor Pauline, who was our administrative pastor and our very good friend. I would make sure to get my date nights before she did that. Because if she did, this is what would happen. I would be suspended. No questions asked. Just suspended. And if I refuse to correct that over the next few weeks, then I would be let go. That's how important date night was. And you know why it was that important? Because if I cannot take care of the relationships that are most important to me, what business would I have doing with anybody else? The relationship has a priority, has a hierarchy. Now that's how seriously they took it. And there is an order when it comes to relationships because we see it all the time. We see it all the time. When, first of all, maybe our spouse or anything else lower on the list takes priority over God. And then the kids take priority over the spouse. Or the job takes priority over the family. We see what happens all the time. Things get out of order. You want to know what's messed up with this world? That's what's messed up with this world. You know what that's called? It's called... There's a sociological term for it. It's called dysfunctional. That's what it means, that everything is out of order. That's how important it is. My big belief is that if your relationship is good with God, then it sets the tone for it to be good in your marriage. If your relationship is good in your marriage, it sets the tone for your relationship to be good with your kids. If your relationship is good with your kids, God, spouse, your family, then that's how much better you can help to make society. You understand that? That's how important keeping our priorities in relationship is. Now, of course, that, and I just want to encourage you to keep it in order. Of course, that does in no way excuse us from looking beyond those boundaries, beyond just the family. In fact, the better we nurture the relationships at the top, the more it qualifies us to build new ones. Which brings us to the last question, which is, am I making an effort to build relationships? Am I making an effort to build relationships? I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, you know, Pastor Aaron, that sounds good, but that's just not me. It's just not me. I'm not good at meeting people. Let me tell you something, if that's you. Neither am I. You think I'm good at doing this, to speaking? You don't know what's going on the inside. I am an introvert to the biggest extent. I am. But God has asked me to do this. That's why I choose to. And I have these two friends, two of my closest relationships outside of my family. And by godly design, they are completely the opposite. One's an extrovert. He's real outgoing, people loving, always gotta be talking to somebody. And if he's not, he dies. Now there's the other one. He's an introvert, just like me. More reserved, quiet, not ever wanting to be in crowds. Now that doesn't mean that he doesn't love people. It just means that he expresses it in different ways. One year was just before New Year, and my extrovert friend makes this resolution. He says, I'm going to meet and make 52 new relationships this year, one a week. Now for him, that's not even a stretch. My other friend, he decided to, listening to that, he said, I'll take on a similar challenge, but I'm going to meet one person a month. And for him, that was a stretch. Came January, my first friend, he was already at like 35. Kind of expected that, but what I didn't expect is my other friend had already made 7 new relationships and meaningful ones. Truth is that if we choose to love people and if we're willing to give them some of our time, despite our social design, we can build relationships. Just got to make the effort. Jesus explained it in this way. He said, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down his life for his friends. And folks, truly, that's what relationships are all about. That we give up a part of ourselves. And just like your relationship with God, relationships with people cannot grow unless they're nurtured. The author of Hebrews, he said it like this. He said, let us not give up meeting together, as some of us, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. 2 Thessalonians says, my dear friends, we always have good reason to thank God for you, because your faith in God and love for each other keep growing all the time. Can I encourage you? Make an effort to build relationships. Amen? You can go ahead and put away your notes. I know I usually have a bottom line for you to write in, but this morning, I'm going to ask that you write the bottom line on your heart. And the bottom line is this. It's just the title of the message. What matters most to you? What matters most to you? As you're thinking about that, I'm going to ask Jaywen to come up. Because we're talking about relationships and because we're talking about especially the most important one, the one that matters in all of eternity, I've asked Jaewin to do an altar call. And make sure you're sure that you have a relationship with God. So I'm going to hand it over to him for now. Thank you, Mama.
Today's message, yeah, made it really, really clear. By the way, don't mind my voice. Just listen to the words. It's really clear because in this day and age, we get plenty of religion that goes on and so much requirements that are required. People put so much burdens and requirements, what it takes, you know, to be a Christian. And according to our Bible and what the Bible says is that we would have faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we're not into a bunch of practices and religious acts, but a relationship. That we would get into a real loving, involved relationship with Jesus Christ. And Pastor Aaron put that very, very clear today. And what I'd like to do is give you an opportunity that if you haven't received Jesus Christ, that you would be able to receive Jesus Christ for what it is and what it says in the Bible. Very clear that you would believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again. So I'd like you to say this prayer with me if we'd bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that we are sinners. We realize that we needed a Savior. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and rose again. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. If you had said this prayer for the first time today, we'd like you to raise your hand. Father, you have seen the hands that have gone up who receive you as their personal Lord and Savior, Father, and we thank you that you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Father, we ask that those who have raised their hands and those who are already saved, that you would continue to guide them in a relationship with you. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jaewin.
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope Christian Fellowship East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keauhou, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeasthawaii.com.